Welcome to Season 3 of The Blunderbus, Australia's best bus on which to talk about leadership failure. My name is Edward Vaughan. Join me as I travel far and wide on my special bus, The Blunderbus, and have honest conversations with great leaders about some of their greatest leadership disasters. On The Blunderbus, we think it's possible to learn much more from your moments of failure than your moments of success if you know the magic secret. And we also know that failure can be fun, especially other people's. Today's episode is sponsored by City to City and their Revitalize Australia project. It's an ambitious attempt to see health and life breathe back into thousands of churches all around this country that are not reaching their gospel potential. Go to citytocityaustralia.org.au and click on the Revitalize Australia tab to find out more. So today, the Blunderbus has travelled actually not all that far to Canterbury, and I'm talking to Steve Gardner, who's the Senior Minister at St Paul's Canterbury and the Inner Southwest Catalyst Leader for City to City Australia. G'day, Steve.
G'day, Ed. Good to have you.
Thank you very much for giving me parking space in your car park.
Oh, look, welcome to the hotspot of Australia, actually.
Yes, we are in the Badlands, really, aren't we? Yeah. Yes, so we are in the middle of lockdown and, it's all happening around us. So, Steve, you're on the Blunderbus. Have you ever made a leadership mistake?
Well, I think I was joking with you in the week enough to probably feel the next 10 seasons of the Blunderbus. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So let's pick one of them. What do you want to talk about today?
I think a consistent mistake I make, including quite recently, is being it comes. You know, Pete Scazzaro in his book The Emotionally Healthy mm-hmm. Leader talks yeah. about the light and shade of the leader. I think a few years ago I became more okay with my light and not quite aware of the shade that brought with it. And so for me that...
So can I just ask at this point, when you talk about the light and shade, is this kind of like the upside and downside of your personality or style? Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Or, you know, strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, right.
And often two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
So people have often said they find serving with me, they like that I'm patient and gracious and kind. And part of that is, I think, how God has wired me, and part of it is just a nice guy.
what a wonderful thing. What could be bad about being a nice guy?
Yeah, there's an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry Seinfeld repeatedly tells himself, "My mum was right, I'm a really great guy."
It's great.
People generally, this is a big generalization, but people generally find it easy to connect with me and work with me. Yeah. The shade of that for me has been learning to trust my gut and act on that quicker. So there have been a number of times, I think, in ministry where I've been too patient with situations that needed addressing.
Right.
And even at times too gracious with people or systems that needed addressing.
So it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, we would generally think being gracious, good thing, being patient, good thing, but you're saying one can overplay that hand?
Yeah, and probably grace is the wrong word there, but definitely too patient. And it became, I think, aware to me that it was a problem when there were times that I had to, so thinking of particularly patterns I could see in other people I was serving with and not having the courage to face the reality about that and the consequences those patterns might have on the broader ministry. And rather than dealing with those things graciously but swiftly, letting them linger on out of my so-called patience, in hindsight, I might say cowardice, actually was really bad for them. So a few people, like it's just a pattern in my ministry, I think there are people find when I do give them direct, blunt feedback, even if I'm trying really hard to be gracious in that moment, they can feel quite crushed.
And yeah. I imagine that someone could find it quite confusing, because if in their heads they're thinking Steve's a nice guy, Steve's not going to do anything hard or anything like that, and then out of nowhere, maybe and with a kind of backed up, pent up, you know, almost over reaction, you suddenly do something. It's that must be confusing for people who are on the other end of that.
I think so. I think that's true. I think there's a few things, moments I look back on and wish I could do again and do differently. Learn from them. But I think I've confused people and actually hurt people in doing that.
Okay. Yeah. Any clues why you kind of do this?
I'm a stupid optimist. I like watching Ted Lasso at the moment. I like Ted Lasso is a great guy. I don't know if you've watched it, Ed.
I don't know Ted Lasso. For the benefit of our homework. Listeners, who's Ted Lasso?
He's an American football coach who's given a job of coaching an English Premier League soccer team.
Really?
And he's just a rampant optimist and just a really likable guy. But I like seeing the best in people, and I want to really back that and support that. At the heart of it is a fear of confronting reality at those moments where I choose not to address things that need addressing.
Yeah. And there must be, Steve, as you say, a real upside to this. People must feel encouraged by you and, joyfully serve with you and those sorts of things. And yet, as you're saying, there can be a real downside to this as well.
Yeah. And the downside when I let it linger is it actually is really bad for the ministry and things I lead. It's bad for the people.
Right.
Because, you know, in the end, it's not the most loving or caring thing to be doing for them.
So what's the alternative for, you know, in your better moments when you don't do this? And we all have our habitual patterns and stuff like that. But what's the better Steve approach?
Lots of things, but it's still really important for me to invest. So I'm thinking of our staff team at the moment. It's really important for me that we invest into each other and mm-hmm. have fun together. And that's important because one thing I've learned I need to do is also have structures in place that make those difficult conversations about either our ministry systems or about things that we're doing as individuals, learning to not just have good structures in place to do staff reviews and have accountability, but at the same time to still be investing in those people and helping the best version of them come out is a really important thing. But definitely I learned this from another minister I served with a number of years ago, just having structures in place in my own ministry and in the ministry of others I lead that help bring out their own light and shade.
Yeah.
And help us talk about that in a safe way. And, yeah.
One of the guys who lectured me at college once defined ministry as a series of difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you're kind of talking about is having the difficult conversation, but having it earlier when it's a little difficult conversation rather than later when it's a big difficult conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So what have you learned about failure, Steve? How do you see failure now?
The times that I've grown as a leader and as a child of God, I've often been in working through failure. And with this particular example I've been talking about, just learning to confront that own reality in my own life has been a helpful thing in a time of growth.
Mm.
It's taught me to be more okay with just that I'm going to fail. I think I've learned things about myself. I've learned that I need to trust my gut.
Yes.
The more I get on in leadership and in ministry, that often what my gut is telling me in the early days, there's truth in that. And that kind of intuition, just learning to act on that quicker.
Yeah. Do you know, Steve, this has come up a number of times on the blunderbuss journey, and there's an earlier episode called Listening to Your Suspicion. And I think a lot of us as leaders get the intuition, you know, we do have some suspicion about something, and then for whatever strange reason about us as human beings, we don't necessarily act on it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, really weird. Yeah.
Final comment, how do you see failure now?
It is an opportunity to grow. It's still not something it's just part of who I am. I hate it when I fail, and still trying to learn to be okay with that. And to grow through that.
City to City estimate that there are perhaps 3,000 Bible-based, gospel-centered churches in Australia that are plateauing or declining. Just think of the potential impact if those churches could rediscover their mission and purpose to reach out to their communities with the love of Jesus. It's a massive exercise in leadership renewal. If you or your church would like to be part of that, head to citytocityaustralia.org.au and find the Revitalize Australia tab to find out more. Thanks to Steve Gardner for being on the Blunderbus today. If you've enjoyed listening to the Blunderbus, please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps other people find the podcast and also meets my personal needs for approval and affirmation. Oh, hang on. I think I just made a blunder right there. Oh, well, see you next time on the Blunderbus.